There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
I'm Helen Farmer and this is Animal House. As we're joined by Dr. Katrin Yarn, she is the General Manager and Head Veterinary at the German Veterinary Clinic in Abu Dhabi. Good afternoon, Dr. Katrin. How are
you? Good afternoon. I'm very well, thank you. Good. Lovely to be back.
Thank you for joining us to answer pet-related questions and concerns. So basically, if you've got a bit of a worry about your pet at home and can't quite get to the vet, or don't trust Google. I don't know, is there an equivalent of like Google MD for animals?
No, it's, you can just Google anything these days, really, can't you? So yeah, people do Google lots of things, and they sometimes come to us actually with the diagnosis already in hand, even before we've had a look at them.
What's the success rate? How accurate are they normally?
Yeah.
About the same as humans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm definitely guilty of a Google MD. So if you've got any questions relating to cats, dogs, cats is a good specialist subject here this afternoon. Do get in touch if there's rashes, behavioural issues, any dietary questions, do drop us a line 4001 on the text line, or you can message us for free using the Dubai Eye Messenger app. And if you want to give us a call, you can, of course. It lets us go into a little bit more detail. 04 423 1010. So what's in the clinic at the minute, Dr. Katrin? What's popular?
Well, this time of year is really popular for pet transport, obviously. It's it's the time of year where a lot of people leave the country. So we're super busy with that side of thing. We've got something like 25 minute cases minimum going out in June. So busy. Yeah.
Lots, is that kind of quite admin heavy? And lots of paperwork and injections and all of that.
Yes, it is. I mean, we've got our own team at the clinic who specialise just in pet transport. But they're very busy. And yes, it is admin heavy paperwork, but also the veterinary side, like you mentioned, vaccines, microchips, blood tests, all that sort of thing.
When it comes to relocating animals, is it true that it's done by weight?
It depends on how the animals travel. So that means whether they fly as cargo or whether they fly as excess baggage.
Sorry, I've never heard them flying as excess baggage before. It's like strange shaped parcels going to this counter.
Exactly, something like that. So if they are traveling cargo, then yes, it's definitely on weight. And it's also on volumetric weight, so the size of the crate or the kennel that they travel in.
Okay, because my husband's like, if we ever move back, the dogs are going to have a serious haircut and maybe a little diet before we fly back.
A lot of people say that. Yes, it is true that it's on
weight. What's more cost effective, the excess baggage or cargo?
Definitely excess baggage. It's probably about half the price as cargo.
And what's the kind of the downside to it if the price is better?
So not all airlines will take pets as excess baggage, and some countries won't accept them as excess baggage. So, for example, when pets are arriving into the UAE, they can only arrive as cargo. They cannot arrive as excess baggage. So there are some restrictions and limitations. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions when it comes to relocations, do get in touch. Dr. Katrin is here until 2 o'clock this afternoon, 4001 on the message line, or you can send us a message on the Dubai Eye Messenger app. It is free. It's really easy to use. And then you can message us for free after that. And you also give us a call, 04 423 1010. How about some of this?
Animal news.
I don't think you're going to be surprised by my latest study, Dr. Katrin.
Uh-oh.
86% of adults would break up with their partner if they didn't get along with their dog.
Yep, I would probably agree with that.
Sounds about right. So
yeah.
I think it's fair to say that our best friends generally do know what's best for us. It just so happens that many of us do have an animal as a best friend. And the majority of dog owners will not stay in a relationship if their beloved pooch doesn't get along with their new partner. This is a new survey done in the States. 3,500 dog owners are surveyed by the dog walking service WAG. 4 out of 5 dog owners say that their dog's reaction to a potential partner affects their feelings about the relationship. And in fact, 86% of respondents said they would actually break up with their romantic partner if they weren't into their dog. can you believe this?
I can, actually. I think we all trust our pet's intuition more than we do our own, maybe. But yeah, when I met my husband, he had an existing dog and I had an existing cat. So it was touch and go to see whether
families.
They would get on, exactly.
But interestingly, it does seem that if you are a pet lover, it can kind of boost your appeal to the opposite sex as well. Apparently, singles with dogs are found to be more successful on dating apps with those with... So the survey showing that 73% of people with dogs are more likely to swipe right on a profile of a person whose pet was in their photo. One particularly bizarre statistic found that 16% of married dog owners would rather celebrate their dog's birthday rather than their spouse's. Do you know your pet's birthdays?
Well, they're all rescue pets, so we kind of guesstimate them. Yeah. But no, we always celebrate our pets' birthdays. Yeah, with some treats or some extra love, and yeah.
Oh, that's really sweet. My husband knows when our dog's birthdays are. I've got to confess, I don't really know. But staying on the topic of dog ownership boosting your sex appeal, another study. This is from a British matchmaking company called Elite Singles. This is for 1,000 UK singles. They said, I'm sorry, apologies in advance to any cat owners out there, that basically dog owners were perceived to be more attractive. Nearly two-thirds chose dog owners, while less than a fifth favoured cat owners. It's a 72% margin. It's a huge gap. Now, why do you think that would be, Dr. Katrin? What do you think the attributes of dog people and cat people would be?
I think that there's a perception that dogs are extremely friendly and outgoing, and I think that's, you know, perhaps transferred onto the owner.
Energetic.
Exactly. And I think, you know, cats are perceived to being a little bit aloof and independent, so that's maybe not what you're looking for when you're trying to meet a new partner.
Selfish was the word used in the survey. So 57% respondents said that any pet owner would be a good mate because caring for an animal was a reflection of a nurturing personality. Dog lovers also tend to rate each other very highly, so 9 out of 10 said they would look especially favourably on another dog owner in a prospective partner. Now, as you can imagine, cat owners have been... let's just say they've had a few things to say about this. And in a recent op-ed entitled 15 Reasons Cat People Are Way Hotter Than Dog People in Metro Magazine, contributor Ellen Scott suggested that cat owners smell better, aren't needy like dog people, are smarter, more patient and more independent. What do you think? Message us and join the conversation. 4001 on the text line. You can message us for free on the Dubai iMessenger app. It's also the numbers to get in touch if you've got a question for Dr. Katrin. We're here until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Question came in earlier and I have to read it because it really, really made me giggle. Dr. Katrin, I'm not sure how you're going to cope with this one, but we're going to do it anyway. No name on this one. Don't feel like you have to put your name on, although I understand why this person would perhaps want to be anonymous. Questions asking, what is the record number for the... I can't even say it. What is the record for the number of nipples a cat can have? I didn't even realise this was a question. Person saying, I did some Googling because I was curious about the amount of nipples cats can have. I was surprised to find it's a surprisingly complicated question. I found answers can range from anything from 4 to 10. However, I was curious if this is the upper limit, and if not, what's the most you've encountered in your time as a vet?
Yes, that is an interesting question indeed.
what's the kind of general average?
Yeah, the general average I would say is 8 to 10. So obviously,
but why 8 to 10? Why is there a range? I don't understand.
I think that's just a genetic variant, to be honest with you. But it's obviously designed for the number of babies that they can have. So obviously, you know, if cats have larger litters, they're going to be able to need to feed them all. So that's one thing. Interestingly, also male animals do also have nipples. So just like in humans,
they do indeed.
We do sometimes get people coming in with male pets who are not quite sure what that lump is on their tummy, and it is indeed a nipple.
And it's got a little nubbin friend on the other side in exactly the same place.
Exactly.
So I would urge any cat owners out there to go and count the number of nipples they have and message us. If it's over 10, I want to know about it and I want to see a photo, please. You can send photos via the Dubai iMessenger app. If you have got something like a skin complaint on your animal or a lump or something's not healing properly, you can also use the message function with the picture to let us know a little bit more information. So that's Dubai iMessenger app, free for download, and then you can send us messages for free, or you can just text us information on 4001. Good news about mountain gorillas in the news this afternoon. The mountain gorilla population has risen above 1,000, and this new total represents an increase of 25% since 2010 in the Central African heartland. We're always hearing sad, somewhat depressing news about population when it comes to these amazing animals. But incredibly, in Central Africa, we are now seeing the results of intensive conservation work in a region that's really had problems with armed conflict, and where six park guards were actually murdered in April. So David Attenborough, basically any excuse from a quote for David Attenborough. Yeah. He said, "When I first visited the mountain gorillas, the situation was dire. The number of these remarkable animals was dreadfully small. It's incredibly heartening, therefore, to see how the efforts of so many groups, communities, governments, NGOs have paid off." Of course, this isn't necessarily a happy ending. It's still a very relatively low number. So the work does continue, but it's a real milestone to reach over a thousand. This is Dubai Today.
Animal news.
Now, dog bites are sadly a very, you know, normal, common part of dog ownership, but one study is now trying to ascertain what can contribute to dogs biting more. This is out of University of Liverpool, and they've been using YouTube videos for studying dog bites. The researchers said that videos posted on the internet provided them with an opportunity to observe dog bites firsthand, which is not always possible using other methods of study. So they were really trying to ascertain who is bitten most often and what kind of behaviours can lead up to a dog bite. Dogs that most commonly bite, they're also looking at trying to kind of narrow down. The findings showed that the demographic characteristics of the victims and dogs in these YouTube videos looked at the age and sex as well as the breed type of the animal. Most common breeds, actually, Dr. Catherine, what would you guess would be most common breeds that are a bit bitey when it comes to dogs?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting subject. And I think the breed is not always significant. It's often the experiences they've had and the training they've had and other issues, which we can talk about in a second. But, you know, historically, German Shepherds, some of your more sort of newer breeds like Shar Pei's and Chow's tend to be a little bit more aggressive. Mm-hmm. Rottweilers, Dobermans, these dogs have all been bred to
be aggressive.
Exactly. And to guard and to, you know, to hunt and all that sort of thing. So that would make them a little bit more predisposed.
Yeah, University of Liverpool said exactly that. Pit bulls, Labrador Retrievers, Chihuahuas.
Well, sometimes, yeah.
Small dog syndrome.
Yes.
German Shepherds. And around 7 in 10 bite victims seem to be male, and more than half of the bites observed involved children and infants. Mm. So what can we be doing to avoid, not necessarily avoid the dog bites, but avoid the behaviour that can lead up to that happening?
So I think two of the most common reasons why dogs would bite would be, one, it would be fear, so fear aggression. And the second one is a dominance behaviour. So the dogs aren't sure where their position is within the pack. Okay. When I say pack, I mean the family. So that's why you'd have a lot of children on there, because the dogs are trying to assert their dominance over the weaker members of the pack as they see it, which are the children. So those can often be the victims. I guess the reason why men might be quite likely to be bitten could be a fear aggression issue. If dogs have had perhaps bad experiences with men, or if they perceive the men to be more threatening, then they'll try to protect themselves, and they'll do that by biting.
Dr. Katrin saying, "Earlier this month, I adopted a two-year-old rescue cat, and he lived in a shelter from 6 months on. He was super friendly, very affectionate with anybody who came by, leading me to adopt him. Ever since I brought him home, he's been avoidant and frightened. He'll only move about my flat when I'm asleep or when I'm not there, and he stays in one hiding spot. Sometimes I'll find a stray poop in a different room every once in a while. I don't want to take him back to shelter, but I'm afraid he'll never adjust. I need to know if there's anything I can do to make him feel comfortable with me. What can I be doing better? I've used calming sprays and rescue remedies so far."
Yeah, another really interesting behavioural question. So cats are very, very focused on their environment, and it does take them, or can take them, a long time to adjust to a new environment. There are lots of products on the market that can help. One of my favourite products is a product called Feliway, which is actually a feline pheromone that's been bottled. So when your cat rubs his or her face, that's kind of a happy gesture. And the pheromones that are in the face have been bottled in either a diffuser or a spray called Feliway, and will just make the cat feel a lot less anxious, more calm. It encourages play, all those kinds of things. So that certainly could help.
And how is it? So it's in a diffuser, did you say?
Yeah, so it comes either in a spray bottle or in a diffuser. So the diffuser can be plugged into the key areas of the house or the room or the apartment. And the spray bottle can be used in sort of, you know, beds, areas that the cat often is.
And when it comes to spray, when would you recommend spraying it? Would it be when the cat is calm or when it's agitated to calm them down, or does it not really matter?
Doesn't really matter. I would use it all the time because you're trying to create an environment that the cat feels more comfortable in. So I wouldn't use it in any specific situations. I would just use it as a general way of making the cat feel more comfortable.
Okay. Thank you. Hope that helps. Relating to that female spray, Dr. Katrin, the message here saying, where do I get the item on the pheromones? Thanks. Is it widely available, Feliway?
So we always have a stock of Feliway in the clinic. I'm not sure how widely available it is. Usually your veterinarian would be the best place to go for that. Yeah, it's quite a specialist product. So maybe, obviously, we're a cat-friendly clinic, so we have a lot of things that are very specific to cats.
Does it need to be prescribed, or could you just pick it up?
I think you can just pick it up.
Expensive or no?
Yeah, I mean, so a diffuser would cost probably around 300 dirhams. That lasts for about a month. The spray comes in two different sizes. A small bottle is about 150 dirhams and a large bottle also about 300. So, but extremely effective.
Okay. We are joined by Dr. Katrin Jahn. She is the general manager and head vet at the German Veterinary Clinic in Abu Dhabi. Our topic of today is about depression in pets, which I feel is quite a loaded descriptive word. How do you generally describe kind of mental health issues? Would it be depression?
Yeah, you're right. Depression is a little bit of a sort of a humanized kind of term. I think we would usually class it as anxiety or stress more than depression itself. I do think that animals are emotive, you know. I do believe that, but I'm not sure whether you can define it as depression. I think that relates too strongly to the human emotion.
And how would that behaviour manifest?
So, I mean, cats in particular are, as I mentioned earlier, very, very focused on their environment. So any changes in routine can really affect cats. So even if you get a second cat into the household, if you have a baby, if you move apartments, or if you move from a villa into an apartment, all those things are going to cause your cat to be quite anxious initially. And in cats, that can really show in lots of different ways. So they can become withdrawn, which is maybe why people think that they're depressed, less interactive. But in cats, that can also become a real physical problem. So they can get sick. We see lots of urinary tract conditions that are associated with stress and anxiety. It's a big topic. Yeah, for sure.
What about dogs and so-called depression? I know mine, anecdotally, Jarvis, the Cocker Spaniel. When we moved house, he became very low mood. And also when his buddy was put to sleep, there was definitely, I wasn't projecting onto him,
yeah.
I promise.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm sure.
He was kind of, you know, moping around would be the best way of describing it.
Yeah.
How do dogs pick up on things, and what might lead them to perhaps even need medication?
Yeah, so I think you have to remember with dogs is they're extremely social animals and they're used to living in packs. And obviously when they're pets, then we become their packs and the other pets in the household become their packs. So any changes in that sort of situation and dynamic can be very upsetting to dogs, and hence, you know, your dog feeling sad or low, you know, when your other dog passed away. I think that's quite a normal thing because it's just a massive disruption in their routine. But I think, yeah, dogs a lot of the time, so for dogs, it's really important for them to know where their position is within the pack. And if they don't know that, or if their needs aren't met in that way, that can then display in behavioural issues. So that could be aggression, as we spoke about earlier, or it could be, you know, them withdrawing and becoming what we might think of as depressed.
And they can be put on Prozac, and other antidepressants are available.
Yes.
But they can be prescribed medication for these issues, right?
Yeah, they can. It would always be our very last resort. We would always try behavioural intervention first. And then we have a number of sort of more natural remedies that we can try to use first. We have, you know, calming collars, calming sprays. Royal Canin even does a calm food for cats, for example. So there are lots of different options that we can try first before we sort of head for the heavy medication. And the behavioural problem has to be quite severe for us to consider prescribing drugs for this.
Okay, any questions, do get in touch. Question here from Anjana on the message line saying, question, I feel my cat is very lazy and sleeps all the time.
I would say that's a cat. That is what it is to be a cat. So we know that
what
cats...
a life.
I know, it's so envious. Cats sleep between 16 and 20 hours per day. That's completely normal behaviour for them. And also we have to remember that cats are sort of nocturnal animals. You know, they do their hunting at dusk and dawn. So throughout the day, that's what they're born to do, is sleep for most of the time, unless they're very young kittens or, you know, they're extremely playful. But I wouldn't worry too much. If you're concerned about any medical issues, please seek out, you know, your vet's advice. But that's a cat's life.
Cat's
in
life.
A word.
Richard asking on the text line, we take our dog to play at kennels where he enjoys it. Why does he pant and shake on the way there in the car?
Yeah, so I think that could be twofold. A lot of dogs get extremely excited when they go to these play areas. So it could be a manifestation of excitement, you know, linking that car journey to then the outcome, which is getting to see all his friends and play and have a wonderful time. So that's one thing. The other thing is that the dog could actually be anxious about the car journey itself. So that could be a manifestation of that. And again, I'd seek some professional advice to sort of determine between the two. But if I mean, I went to one of the big play parks the other day, and the reaction of the dogs when they got there was just incredible. They were straining at the lead to get in there and start playing with their buddies. So it's definitely, and could be excitement.
Much the same with mine. They start to kind of really get quite het up in the car. And I definitely think it's more excitement than stress or anxiety, because as soon as I open the boot, they're straining to get out and go play. But yeah, as you say, if the physical symptoms kind of linger on, I would definitely suggest getting down to the vet. Let's get back to the questions, Dr. Katrin. One has come in about a doggy. My dog recently spent a few days in kennel, so boarding, and despite having her vaccinated against kennel cough, she had the drops in her nose. I think she has kennel cough. I've noticed her coughing a lot and sneezing a lot. She's still fairly energetic and eating well and doesn't appear to have a temperature. She's congested as she was snoring last night, which isn't that ordinary. It seems every website I go to recommends something different treatment for kennel cough. Some say go to the vet immediately, some say wait for it to run its course. Obviously, I'm going to monitor her, and if her symptoms worsen, take the emergency vet. But is this something I should be worried about?
Great question, and very relevant to this time of year as well. So the kennel cough vaccine actually needs to be given at least 2 weeks before the dog gets into contact with any other dogs or goes into the kennel, kennel environment.
That's interesting, because I think it seems to be not common practice, but I've heard of people dropping off their dogs for boarding, them going, oh, quick, check the vaccination books, haven't had kennel cough, right, we'll just give that to you now and charge you at the end.
Yeah.
But it needs to be a 2 week lead-in
time. Absolutely, yeah. So if they're vaccinated on the day, they won't actually be protected until 2 weeks into their boarding stay, which can be quite a long time. So that's the first thing I think to take into consideration. As far as the symptoms go, for kennel cough, we usually see very typically a dry, hacking type of cough. And sometimes it's compared to a noise that a goose makes. It's like a goose honk type cough. So if that is something that your dog is showing, then I would say definitely go to your vet, because antibiotics is usually the treatment of choice for that.
Okay, hope that helps. A few cat-related questions coming in. Let's squeeze in this one. What are the best human food treats to give cats? I sometimes give my cat some salmon, sardines, and tuna as a treat. Is it good for her? And what other human foods would you recommend to give a kitten or adult cat?
Yes, so I think my best advice would be not to give any human food to your cat. So obviously our cats are much, much smaller than we are. So any human food that they get is going to be very high in comparison calorifically. That's a tricky word. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we always want our cats to eat a complete diet. So it needs to have the right nutrients and the right minerals and vitamins for the cat. And human treats would not have that. Obesity is a really big problem in our pets. So I think anything that goes above and beyond your regular diet is going to have the potential to put weight onto your pets. So I wouldn't recommend human treats.
Safer just to avoid. I can ask you this question. You can answer it when we come back, Dr. Katrin. I think it's something that may well resonate with quite a few people out there. Saeed asking, we have a few cats who live in our compound, and three of them cry, meow, moan every evening. They seem happy enough and fight a little bit, but whenever we walk past, they really meow. Why is this? Join the this afternoon by Dr. Katrin from the German Veterinary Clinic in Abu Dhabi. Lots of questions coming in for you. We had this one from Saeed earlier on the topic of cats in a compound. We have a few cats who live in our compound and three of them cry slash meow slash moan every evening. They seem happy enough and fight a little, but whenever we walk past, they really meow. Why is this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So obviously, as we know, compound cats are quite a frequent occurrence here. Now, the crying, meowing, moaning in the evening could be male cats that are kind of competing for the territory. So they, and you know, he mentions they fight a little bit as well. So that could be to do with that, especially if the cats are not neutered, which, you know, they probably would not be if they're compound cats. Why they meow a lot when you pass them. So for those cats at this time of year, water, food and shelter would be the most important things to them to be able to get through the heat. You know, they're potentially meowing at you for those resources. So either food or water if they're not being fed or watered.
Okay, I think we all hear it. It drives my dogs crazy at dusk, just at the kids' bedtime. Question here from Eddie that's come in on the text line, Dr. Katrin, saying, "Hi, my dog is very friendly with people, but when he sees any other dogs, he becomes aggressive by barking a lot and trying to lunge at the other dog. Mm-hmm. How can we make him friendly to other dogs? We want him to socialise and take him to playgrounds with other dogs, but are worried he might hurt them. Thank you, Eddie."
Great question. We're having brilliant behavioural questions today. So I think the key word in that question is socialisation. So dogs have this golden window when they're puppies where they learn how to socialise with other dogs. And if for whatever reason they've missed that window, then that can be something that may become a problem later on in life. So however, there are fantastic socialisation classes available from a lot of the sort of dog training places around. And that would probably be my first port of call, is to go and have a chat to them and see what kind of socialization techniques they offer, and that, you know, could be six classes or something like that, which hopefully will get the dog socialized and then he can go and have fun with the other dogs.
That's exactly it. You know, lots of animals here, if they have come from a pet shop, might have been taken away from their mother and their litter, and that's when that crucial socialization takes place. Or if the dog isn't there's not another dog at home who might teach them with the odd nip and growl what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. So kind of emergence in a socialization class, you think, could make a real difference.
Oh yeah.
Okay, staying on the topic of dogs, a question here on the text line saying, I have two dogs and usually add peanut butter and treats into their Kong. But I would like to add more of a healthy option. I would like to give them a Kong on a daily basis. I read online that buying them canned pumpkins and baby food will work. Do you have any cons to possibly feeding them baby food? I bought the mostly fruit and veg based baby foods, carrot, banana, etc. And can you think of any that I should be aware of? So what's a Kong for people that don't know, Dr. Katrin?
Yeah, so a Kong is basically a very sturdy rubber chew toy that is hollow on the inside and that can be filled with different things, different treats to keep your dog occupied, you know, for a number of hours. I absolutely love Kongs. They're brilliant, brilliant toys for dogs because they offer mental stimulation and really do keep them occupied for long sort of stretches of the day. My dog absolutely loves them. In terms of filling them, I would try something like, you know, raw vegetables, so carrot sticks or cucumber sticks, something like that. I'd possibly stay away from the baby food, but only because it may be quite calorific again.
Quite sweet.
And sweet, exactly. High in sugars, potentially. So that would be my sort of one con to that. I think tin pumpkin is a really great idea because pumpkin, we know, has a lot of fiber in it, so it's really good for the digestive tract as well. So I think I'd go for the pumpkin over the baby food for sure, but watching them try to get out some raw carrot sticks might be quite entertaining as well.
It's all part of being a pet owner. Really quick question, we'll just squeeze it in, saying, my parents have a golden retriever and we're wondering if it's okay to shave him ahead of the summer. Mm-hmm. We've never done it before. Dog's about 55 kilos, about 10 years old, and he's very, very furry. Would this be okay? Could it hurt his skin or would he get sunburned? Thanks a lot.
I think that would be a fantastic idea. I think your dog would be absolutely delighted to get his big fur coat off just as the summer approaches. There aren't too many risks involved. The only thing I would say is when you take him to get shaved or groomed, is make sure he doesn't have too short of a cut. So I would recommend something like a number 7 blade would be a really good length, to get them cut at. Nothing shorter, because then you might risk getting a little bit of sunburn, perhaps. But he would love you for it, I'm sure.
A little bit of pampering for that pooch. Dr. Katrin, thank you so much for joining us from the Gym and Veterinary Clinic.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.